All right, the title of my sermonette today is Laodicean. I recently did just a little bit of learning about Laodicea, and I have found that the geography and history of the ancient city of Laodicea is quite interesting in the context, especially in the book of Revelation. Laodicea was one of three Greek cities that were along a major trade route. The other two cities were Colossae and Hierapolis. Colossae was about 17 kilometers to the west, and Hierapolis about 10 kilometers to the south. So pretty close proximity to one another. And each of these three cities was known for some of its unique attributes. Among some of the most notable attributes, Colossae was known for its cold, refreshing water. And that source of water came from snow and rain-fed streams that came from the peak of nearby Mount Cadmus. And Hierapolis was known for just the opposite. It had geothermal hot springs that it was known for. Laodicea, on the other hand, was not known for having a natural source of water at all. It was known for its poor water quality. In fact, among the other many great things about Laodicea, the natural source of water was not one of them. So its source of water had to come via aqueduct. So as we understand in archaeological findings, the source of water for Laodicea came from nearby Hierapolis, where the water, as you recall, came from hot springs. And as the water came along the aqueduct over that 10-kilometer distance into Laodicea, the temperature cooled a little bit so that it was no longer hot, but you guessed it, lukewarm and filled with minerals. Did not taste very good, but that's what they had. A second interesting attribute about Laodicea was that it was known for being a medical center in the region, particularly known for treating ophthalmological ailments, things having to deal with the eyes. They were, as you might know, or maybe you don't, they produced an eye salve there. And that was known to heal a lot of eye problems, and it was used as a remedy for blindness, among other optical ailments. The minerals were rich in that area, and they were used as one of the main ingredients for the eye salve. Medical treatment was very good there. It was also known for its high quality black wool. Textiles were a main part of the industry there, continue to be to this day, in fact. And it was a major part of trade for the city, again, being a major city on this trade route. And finally, another really interesting point is Laodicea was a city that suffered destruction in an earthquake that hit the area in the year 60 AD. It destroyed the city, leveled it. And at the time, Nero was emperor of Rome. And since Laodicea was very important as a trading partner for the Roman Empire, Nero offered funding that Laodicea might be able to use to rebuild. However, the Laodiceans rejected it. They didn't want the financial help from Rome, and instead they took great pride in being able to fund the rebuilding of the city themselves. Interesting set of facts there, especially when we consider when the book of Revelation was written, about 35 years later after this earthquake. Some date the book of Revelation to be written around 95 AD. Point being, when the book of Revelation was written, all of this was in context. So let's go ahead and open up our Bibles and look at what the book of Revelation has to say about the church of Laodicea, opening up to where you might guess I'm going, Revelation 3, verses 14 through 22, in which it talks about this lukewarm church. Revelation 3 and verse 14, "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning and the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, I do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counseled you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. And we'll stop there. When we read these statements in the book of Revelation made about the Church of Laodicea, there's no doubting that this is a description about them. There's no way that the Laodiceans could read about all of the things mentioned here and say, oh, that doesn't apply to me. It is clearly talking about attributes that the city of Laodicea is known for. The lukewarmness relates to their water, of course, and also describes their attitude. Whereas cold water is refreshing, good to drink, hot water is relieving to soak in and good for washing, lukewarm water serves neither purpose very well. The eye salve that they were known for to heal the blind is something they need to apply to themselves so that they can see themselves clearly for what they are. The black wool that they were known for, that was the pride of their trade and which exemplified the quality of their industry, should be exchanged for just the opposite, white garments that represent purity. The self-reliance, their need for nothing, pride of their own achievements and richness conceals the actual state of their spiritual poverty. All of these statements clearly apply to them. There's no way that they could read this and say, ah, that doesn't apply to me. So why am I bringing this up today? Well, I'm doing this as a challenge to us all. It's a challenge. For the Laodiceans, this description left them no way to deny that the scripture applied to them. It was a wake-up call for them to look at themselves more carefully and really consider their ways. My challenge to you, my challenge to myself, is to consider our own state of our spiritual well-being, our spiritual richness, or spiritual poverty. Before dismissing that this diagnosis could possibly apply to you or me, we need to think about, with that same perspective as the Laodiceans as they read this, I challenge us to consider how this might apply to us. Let's go over to Job 42 and read a passage there, Job 42, verses 1 through 6. We read here, after Job is confronted by God, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. I would argue that Job suffered from a similar diagnosis than the people referenced in the church of Laodicea. His own self-righteousness hid the fact from him. It blinded him to the true state of his spiritual well-being. The pride of his achievements, his success, his His righteousness, in fact, was getting in the way of seeing himself for what he really was, and that he was glorifying himself too much and not giving glory to God. That is what Job's problem was. It was self-righteousness, as we understand from this book. And through his trials, God humbled him severely to help reveal the problem of his self-righteousness. And this is the moment when the light clicks, his eyes see, and he realizes what his problem is. His eyes were opened. His blindness was healed, if you will. No longer blind, but rather seeing himself clearly. He repented, just as the prescription is applied for the church of Laodicea. He corrected the path in his life, and he gave glory to God rather than himself. It was a complete shift in focus, a paradigm shift, if you will, seeing his life in a way that made sense in a different way through God's eyes. It is that change in perspective that God wants us to have. We need to evaluate ourselves as God evaluates us, looking at our heart instead of what we are achieving physically. I'd like to turn to Matthew 7 and read verses 1 through 5. Matthew 7 and verse 1 talks about judgment. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. It is so much easier for us to see the faults in others than it is to see how we ourselves might have faults of our own. It is much easier to point a finger and say, they have it all wrong. They've got a problem. They are Laodicean. So much easier to do that than look at ourselves and consider how we might be Laodicean. Our job is to consider our own ways, looking at the plank in our own eye, whether we have problems ourselves. And brethren, I don't know about you, but I sin, not intentionally. I got problems I need to fix. It's the job of a Christian to find them and fix them. Denying from the start, saying that the evaluation of our spiritual state, like what we read in the book of Laodicea, or the book of Laodicea, the book of Revelation about the church of Laodicea, to say that doesn't apply to me without evaluating ourselves honestly is perhaps an indication that we really do need to look a little deeper. Recall how the Laodiceans had mentioned that they have need of nothing. I don't need to look there. I'm good. That's the kind of attitude that we cannot have. Among the many things that others might call us as Christians, being called Laodicean is the thing that is most repulsive, most insulting to us. Nobody wants to be called Laodicean. I would say that it's even worse than being called a sinner, right? I wouldn't be surprised if there are some listening to what I have to say today and rejecting it, thinking, how dare he say that I should consider how I'm Laodicean? There's no way that applies to me. Well, I said it. We must acknowledge that we are living in an era in the Church of God when we can see attitudes become apathetic towards God, complacent in their calling, corrupted by worldliness and self-glorification. And we must be on guard against this kind of attitude, because the environment in which we live, which is terrible and getting worse, and worldliness, it can and will influence us negatively without our detection if we're not careful. The best way to detect problems is to try and look for them. To confirm that we aren't Laodicean, we need to go beyond finding evidence that confirms that we are doing what's right. Because we're Christians, we do a lot of what's right. But we also need to ensure the absence of evidence that we're of us doing what's wrong. Do we have evidence that we're doing things wrong? We are on the tail end. You know, we've been away from the spring holy days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where we specifically look for those things in our lives that cause us to sin and root them out. I'm making a call today to continue doing that so that we don't become lax. The prescription to Laodicea was to repent. Invest in what and that which is spiritually valuable, rather than focus so much on the success by worldly measures. It all starts by seeing ourselves clearly. Open your eyes, don't be blind. We should all be taking this prescription.